Let the whole church say amen. Amen. God is good. All the time. Not some of the time, but all of the time. God has blessed us to be here, and you don't know what a blessing that really is until you consider the alternative. And I don't think anybody wants to face the alternative, although we all must face it. Nobody wants to face it. So let us thank God for Him blessing and lengthening out the threads of our lives that we may still be here. This morning, before we go any further, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we have been privileged to be blessed once again. You have given us the gift of life, O Heavenly Father. You have stretched out our lives and given us another chance to come before the footstool of that mighty throne. Father, we thank you for Jesus, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Most of all, Father, we thank you that He still lives. We thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father, for all of those who are in the audience this morning. And we pray for those who are not in the audience that they may get here at the next appointed time. We thank you for those who may be sick and unable to be with us. We thank you for those who may be on their way. And we pray for those who are traveling today that they may have safety upon their journey. And we pray that you would bring them back once again. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this congregation and their families, and we continue to pray for their strength and their continued leadership. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for each and every member in the congregation this morning, as well as their families, that they may be strengthened to move on forward in you, O Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all the brethren that have taken part in this services thus in these services thus far. We pray and thank you, Father, that you give them strength as well as their families. Then, my Heavenly Father, we pray for these services themselves, that the things that we do may be found acceptable in thy sight. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all that you have done for us in our everyday lives. We thank you for a reasonable portion of our health and our strength. We thank you for family, friends, and loved ones, but in on top of everything, Lord, we thank you that your Son, Jesus, is a friend to us if we are a friend to Him. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the blessings of this day. And thank you for the beautiful weather that we're having this day. Thank you for food, shelter, and clothing. And thank you especially for waking us up this morning. Now, my Heavenly Father, be with us, watch over and keep us, and take us through the rest of the remainder of these services, O Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus, let us all say, Amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. We'll briefly visit those again, but I wanted to point out just something for you out of that scripture. And I wanted to just to let you know that from the subject this morning, we're going to be talking about becoming like Jesus. Many people proclaim Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Many praise His name. Many allow Him to lead them through this maze called life that we're on. It's a lifelong voyage that we're on. Though it may sometimes not be to our liking, all we need to do is remember this world is not our home. It's just somewhere we're passing through. When we think of all the toils and strife we face each and every day, we can better appreciate the love of Jesus that He shows us. But the question always comes up, do we love Him as much as He loves us? There are several points I would like to focus on in today's lesson, pointing us to the end question. Do you love Him enough to become like Him? Will you follow His lead? Jesus had some habits and customs that sometimes present problems for some of us to follow. If we are to consider becoming like Him, we must consider His ways, His actions, and everything that He does. In today's text, we find Jesus in Nazareth. There He took time to teach in the synagogue. He went to the assembly, in other words. He began to read from the book of Isaiah. He was qualified to read the Word because He knows the Word. Jesus knew the Scriptures. Many church folk today like to tell others are sometimes simply want to present themselves as Bible students. But when the truth be told, some of us don't study the Word as we should. I would be one of the first ones to raise my hand and say, I don't get to study. I haven't always had the time to study as I would have preferred. And to those who may say, well, Brother Carter, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I would simply say to you, ashamed of what? Of telling the truth? Because you probably don't get as much time to study as you should either. So why would I be ashamed of myself? I'm telling the truth. I've read over in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verses number 15 where the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. None of us have the time or the ability to reinvent God's Word. We must learn it as it is presented. Some of us like to take a scripture and pretend that it's meant just to us. Some of us like to take a scripture and say, well, he's talking to me when he's saying that. He's talking to all of us when he's saying something in the Word of God, because we're all supposed to be studying the Word of God. When you know, some of us will take a scripture and we'll turn it in a heartbeat into sound and make it sound as though this was just made for you and I. It was just made for me. When we look at the scriptures in verse 16 of Luke chapter 4, look what the Bible says. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Jesus knew the scriptures, but he stood up so that he could read. He stood up as he knew well what the scriptures said before he even stood up. He knew what the scriptures. He went to the scriptures in Matthew chapter 4, around verses 4 through 7, when he was attacked by Satan. You know, and this is just when he's coming off of that temptation by Satan. In Matthew chapter 4, when Satan attacked him, and if you'll follow me on over to Matthew chapter 4 for a minute. In Matthew chapter 4, watch this, church. In Matthew chapter 4, starting around verse number 4, look what the Bible says. But then let's go up to number 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But watch how Jesus answered him. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up unto a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time shall thou dash thy foot against a stone. But watch how Jesus answered him. But Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When you think about it, church, why do I need to know? Somebody might ask the question, why do I need to know the scriptures? I'll just go to the church leaders and the preacher and somebody else in church, and they know it well enough, so I can just ask them. Well, I'll tell you why. Because the Word of God is food for us. Just like you need food for the body, you need food for the spiritual part of your body as well. Not only is it food, but it's also a light unto our path, according to Psalms number 119, around verse number 105. The scriptures teaches us, it guides us, and it offers us the security of the Lord. But in order for us to become like Jesus, we must first come to know Jesus, know His request of us, and to know His thoughts about us. When one considers becoming like someone else, they first must study that person. Have you ever seen a person who imitates another person in their comedy routine? They first must study that person in order to pick up their ways and their demeanor. And so in order if we're going to follow Jesus, we must first know what Jesus expects from us and of us. It doesn't come to someone who's going to imitate someone else without some study and some time in learning that person's gesture. And neither can we as Christians be good Christians if we don't study the Word of God. We must study the Word of God. So when you go back to the text and look at Luke chapter 6, chapter 4 and verse number 16, and starting at verse number 16, but look at verse number 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Look what was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister. And he sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue was fastened on him. Look what they began to say unto them, and he began to say unto them, this day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ears. Jesus knew the Scriptures, and if we want to become like him, we must study so that we will know the Scriptures as well. Now, you can't be a walking encyclopedia of the Scriptures like Jesus, but you can at least become like him and move toward that way. Not only that, but you'll notice something else he did. He went to the assembly. Some of us got a bad habit of saying, I'm not going to go today. I think I'll just skip today and I'll go next week. They won't miss me anyhow. Well, it's not me that's going to miss you. It's you that might miss whatever is in store, whatever blessing God may have for you. And I like to tell folks sometime, if Jesus comes to the church, will you be there? If he comes on the Lord's day, will you be in the household of faith or will you be in your own house? And you have to ask yourself the question. You have to ask yourself, not only did Jesus attend the assembling of them together, but Jesus knew the Scripture and also he knew how to pray. Oh, Jesus knew how to pray. Jesus prayed many prayers at many times, but to me one of the greatest among his prayers was the one that's recorded in Luke chapter 22. Go over with me, if you will, in Luke chapter 22, around about verse number 42, if you will. In Luke 22, around verse number 42, watch the Bible here now. The Bible says, look how he started off, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now Jesus knew what cup he was about to face. He knew what was going about to happen in his heart. He knew because he knew the Scriptures. He knew what prophecy had suggested what was going to happen. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Here we get a look at our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here we get a deeper understanding of the humanity or the human side of Jesus. Here we get to understand that Jesus had become so human that just like the rest of us, he didn't want to face death either. But then, when we look at our Savior, we knew that he could have stopped it at any time, but then the Scriptures would not have been fulfilled. Here we look at the Lord Jesus after leaving his disciples behind. He began to ask God in a humble and innocent manner, just as man should come before God, knowing that all things are the Father's will. This is how we are to approach God, with humility. You know, you can't just run up and ask the Lord, tell the Lord what you want Him to do for you. You have to ask Him. Lord, I know you got what I need, so give it to me. That's not the way you go to God in prayer. That's not the way you go to God in prayer. God owns everything that this world has to offer. And you can't be asking for anything out of this world because you're not aware of anything out of this world. So we've got to ask for things that God created, God made in this world and on this world. When we look at Christ after leaving His disciples behind and began to pray, we see a different Christ now. We see a Christ that, as I said, human. We see the effects of what life has taken its toll on Jesus as He knew what was about to face Him. Jesus prayed about everything. He didn't just pray about that, but I thought that was one of the greatest prayers that I have ever read in God's Word. But Jesus prayed about everything, and we ought to pray about everything. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, it tells us to pray, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your thoughts be made known unto God. Who else are you going to ask? Only God. Jesus prayed to thank the Lord for hearing Him in John chapter 11. Did you thank Him this morning for listening to you on your last prayer? Now that I think about it, when was your last prayer? And some of you can't remember the last prayer you had, but Jesus thanked Him for just hearing Him. Many times Jesus went alone to pray. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 23, He was alone at evening. And I'm a believer myself. I'm a believer that we can talk to Jesus better, I believe, when there's nobody else around. When we are alone with Him, just Him and I, or just Him and you. We're no longer concerned about proper terms of speech. We're no longer concerned about the length of time that it's going to take me to say this prayer. It's just you and the Lord all by yourself. Not only did He pray in the evening, He prayed in the morning also in Mark chapter 1 and 35. He got up before day and went to a solitary place and He began to pray. He prayed in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 12 all night long. Can you imagine? Some of us won't give God 3 minutes in prayer, but Jesus prayed all night long. If we are to be like Jesus, to become like Jesus, we must allow His influence to come over us. Can you imagine starting to pray and then just continuing in prayer all night long? Just praying, just you and the Father in heaven, just asking Him and telling Him all about all the things that are in your heart and all of the things that are on your mind and just letting Him hear you. And then when you're finished, thank the Lord for listening to you. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, as he prayed there all, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, He withdrew Himself and prayed. In Luke chapter 9 and verse number 18, He was alone in prayer. And all I'm saying is that prayer requires concentration, and time is a good time, alone time is a good time to be with God. You know, I know some of you pray by yourself, and that's a good thing. But have you ever considered the fact that when you are alone with God, how close, much closer you can become to Him? You don't have to worry about, is anybody listening to me? You don't have to worry about, am I going to make a mistake am I going to say the wrong word? You don't have to worry about, what if somebody thinks I should have prayed something else? All you got to do is concentrate on praying between you and Him. To become like Jesus, we need to pray. We need to pray. Jesus Himself told everybody to pray always and faint not. Pray always. And you know, to pray is a good thing. For when you pray, that's our only lifeline to God. That's our only line to Jesus, to the Lord, is to pray. Because God doesn't have a cell phone. God doesn't have a landline phone. God doesn't have a computer, although He owns everything that it took to make those computers. And then, When everything is all said and done, we need to just go to Him sometime and simply say just two or three words to Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing me. Thank you, Lord, for listening to me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for giving unto me everything that I need. Lord, You may not give me everything that I want, but I know You have given me and You will give me what I need. When I think about it, what more do I need than my life, my health, my strength, food, shelter, and clothing? Everything else pretty much is optional. Oh yeah, it's good to have money. I know what somebody's going to say. It's good to have money because you can't go to Jewel and pray your way past the cashier. I understand that. But you can go to God before you go to Jewel and ask the Lord to bless you that you don't overspend and give you enough that you'll have to get what you need. Jesus not only knew the Scriptures, He not only prayed, but Jesus had a good habit of helping others. Helping others is certainly the right thing for a Christian to do. No man has the right to call himself a Christian if he won't help others. Helping others to fulfill their needs is to have a compassionate heart. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36, when Jesus saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus had compassion. He had compassion that was spoken of in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse number 4. Surely He took our infirmities and covered them with our sorrows. Jesus had compassion on the people in Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 14. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 32. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34. In Mark 6 and 34. And then in Mark 8 and 2. If we are to be like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, and to become like Jesus, we must learn to help others. We must show compassion. You know, a compassionate heart is a good thing. A compassionate heart is a well thing. You know, when you don't have compassion in your heart, what kind of Christian can you call yourself without compassion? Compassion means that I have a soft spot in my heart for someone else. I have a soft spot in my heart for something else. I have a soft spot to do the will of God. And I know some don't offer to help others because they are missing that component, which is compassion. Jesus not only helped others, but He also taught on helping others. In Matthew chapter 25, around verse 34 through about verse number 40, where He spoke on being hungry and naked and sick, and the righteous people did not help them. So you got to think about this, church. You got to consider the fact that Jesus is watching your every move when you don't help somebody, and when you do help somebody, He's watching just as well. So you've got to help others. And helping others, let me tell you something. Helping others is more than going in your pocket, giving out a couple of dollars. You can help others in other ways. Somebody may be hungry. You can give them a bite to eat. Somebody may be saying to you, I need a prayer, and I heard that you were a Christian. You can offer them offer a prayer upon their behalf. That's helping others. Sometimes it's just as simple as saying, I'm going to pray for you, brother or sister. I'm going to pray for you that the things that you are desirous of, the things that you need, that they may be fulfilled in your life. There are some who need our help today, but many are not being helped today. There are some who need our help just as much as they needed help back in the Bible. Follow me over to Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9 and verse number 10. I'll get there in a minute. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 10. Look what the Bible says. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Now, what does that tell me? That tells me two things. That tells me I'm supposed to help people, but especially those in the household of faith. But does that preclude me helping others? No, it does not. But especially, you know, some folk who have church folk in need, they'll walk by the church folk. They'll say, you can go to God just like I can. They don't say that, but that's what their actions show. But then we are supposed to help all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. The ministry of helping others is alive and well. If we are to become like Jesus, we must first be like Him, and we are to be buried with Him by baptism into the death, that we should walk in the newness of life. If we don't become like Him down here, we won't be with Him up there. When you think about it, how can I call myself a Christian down here and not help others and then think I'm going to be sitting up in heaven with the Lord? You're not fulfilling. And I'm not saying that it can't happen because the Lord is our righteous judge. But just by going through the Bible, that's why you have to study the Bible. Just by going through the Bible, we are told to help us. I just got through reading it for you in Galatians 6 there. Let us take the opportunity to help all men. As we become like Jesus, we shall understand that no matter where Jesus went, He quoted the Word of God because He knew the Scriptures. He always prayed to His Father. He always helped those whom He came across who were in need. We too, upon becoming like Christ, will understand better our mission, which is to follow Jesus and not trust in the ways of man. For the Bible has already told us there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, according to Proverbs chapter 14, around verse number 12. Become like Jesus, and we won't go wrong. Let us work on becoming like Jesus. Let us remember in the Scripture there how that Jesus marveled, those folks marveled at Jesus as He picked up, opened the book, as the book was given to Him, and He began to quote the Scriptures. When you learn to become like Jesus, you will learn that you need to open your Bible a little bit more often. You will understand that you need to learn and pray more often. You will understand that you need to help others more often. And I'm not saying go out there and be your own personal Red Cross. All I'm saying is simply this. Learn to help others. And then, just maybe, you'll be given a home with God in that everlasting world of heaven, in the everlasting kingdom of heaven. Just maybe. You know, it's hard down here. It's hard down here when you get to be a Christian, it gets a little harder then. Some folks say, well, when I become a Christian, I'm gonna be on easy street then. That's what you think. When you get to be a Christian, you're going to have some hard work ahead of you. How hard is the work going to be? Well, the things that you used to didn't avoid, now you have to avoid some of them. When the places you used to go, you're not going to be able to frequent those places like you used to. To hang out with the boys like you used to is not going to be what you need to be doing anymore. When you learn to obey the Word of God, when you learn what becoming Jesus means, then you'll understand some things, many things and more things. So with that in mind, are you becoming willing to become like Jesus? Are you willing to work on becoming like Jesus? Are you willing to do some of the things that Jesus did in order to make that first step in becoming like Jesus? First of all, you need to be here not some Sunday. We don't have a special on the fourth Sunday. The gospel choir is not here on the first, second, third, fourth, nor the fifth Sunday. So don't come looking for them. So if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you got to come just as you are. You got to come just the way He prescribes us to come. You've got to come wanting to learn of Him and learn to carry His cross. You've got to learn that God doesn't accept you until you accept Him. God loves you, but in order for Him to work with you, you've got to work with Him too. Allow Him to work with you. God is not going to force Himself upon any of us. But with that in mind, somebody may say, well, preacher, how do I get to work with God? How do I work on becoming like Jesus? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized up in the watery grave of baptism. And what a lovely day to be baptized. God has made this December weather like September weather. You can be baptized today. Brother Jackson won't mind. I know he won't. I won't even have to ask him anymore. And if you've been baptized, if you're already a Christian, but somewhere in your lifetime you walked and you went astray, it's time to come back. It's time to come back. It's time to ask God to forgive you. Walk forward, ask the church to pray for you. And don't ever be ashamed to ask somebody to pray for you. Ask them to pray for you that you may help you to gather strength, that you may not fall again, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.